الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. صلوات Our conversation in the previous nights was around the subject of Ma'rifatuddin, Deen Shanasi, recognizing the concept of religion itself in Islam. And we have already passed the stage of definition of religion and the second stage, which was regarding the fact that what is the source of the religion, where the religion comes from, what's the origin, what is supposed to be the origin of the religion, and what is actually the origin. And then third of all, in the last lesson, we were talking about the kinds of religion. Religion does not have, in Islam, religion does not have kinds. It is only one in essence, and that is the Deen al-Haq, which is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the deena, in the lahil Islam. And the word deen is a singular, not a plural. We do use the word adyan in Arabic as a plural, but that is referred to according to the metaphorical usage in the common, by the common people in the society. So basically, in the subject that we are discussing, religion can be classified into three kinds. The first is the religion which is completely based on the desires of the humans and the interests determined by the human beings. And the second is the kind of religion which is partially based on the desires of the humans and their interests in this life, and partially based on the teachings of Allah. That's the second kind. And the third kind of religion is the religion which is entirely based on the divine teachings. The first two types are classified to be, both of them are classified to be Deenul Batil in Islam, the religion of falsehood. And the only third kind, which is classified to be the Deenul Haq, the religion of Haq. Haq is one of the names of Allah, you know, one of has 99 famous names as Haq, the truth. He is the absolute truth. And Haqiqatul Haqa'iq, how we call him in philosophy, Allah is Haqiqatul Haqa'iq. He is the reality of all the reality. He is the origin of the reality. He is the essence of reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Haq, and Deenul Haq means that the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the third kind, and that is the only one which is classified to be Haq. So if anyone follows a religion that is partially based on religious teachings, but partially based on his own desires and interests of the life of this world, then he or she must understand that this is also, in Islam, it is classified to be Deenul Batil, the religion of falsehood, and has no justification and no acceptance in the eyes of Allah. So, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ, the ayat of Quran which I recited in the beginning, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى, he is the one who sent his messenger with guidance, وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ, and the religion of Haqq. And my teacher was saying that دِينُ الْحَقِّ is either the إِضَافَةٌ لَامِيَّةٌ or إِضَافَةٌ بَيَانِيَّةٌ, for those of you who understand the Arabic grammar. And so there's no third way, basically. These are the two possibilities about Deen al-Haq. So it is muhtas, it is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mudaf is specific to mudaf ilayh, and it's specific to Allah and to Haq. Quran does mention about some of those examples of the Deen of Batil, like in Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 26, talking about Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the statement of Fir'aun to his followers, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يُبَدِّلَ دِينَكُمْ, that I'm afraid that he's going to change your religion. So we understand in light of this verse that Fir'aun is disinforming his masses and followers that Prophet Musa alayhi salam is going to change the religion, and this is what he's expressing his fear about that. The religion that the falsehood laws that Pharaoh had himself devised and implemented in his kingdom were called as deen by the Holy Quran, those falsehood laws and batil laws. Those combination of all those qawaneen, which were qawaneen of zulm, the laws of zulm and oppression, are also called as deen. Likewise, and that was based on just the power, whoever has more, who is more mighty, might is right. Because Pharaoh was the more powerful, so because that's the language he used to understand. That's the language of all the pharaohs throughout the history, even today. All they understand is the language of force, because that's what they themselves speak. That's how, and as soon as you find a power is subdued by another bigger superpower, you find the subdued power is the first one to give in quickly to the overwhelming power, because they understand the bitterness of force and strength, the way they themselves used to exploit the masses not far ago. They know that they themselves are going to taste the same bitterness if they stand. So because that's their standard operation procedure, that's their SOP, that's how they do usually to the rest of the people, so they will face the same punishment. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْيَوْمَ مَنِ اسْتَعْلَى. Like Allah talks about, in Surah Al-Taha, verse 64, so we learn in the light of this verse that whoever has more power, yeah, is the one who is successful. So the becoming powerful and show of force is the sign of your success. If you are weak materially speaking, if you are weak in the material strength, not the spiritual strength, if you are materially speaking, you are a weak person, then you are a loser. That's the language they understand. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about the religion, the qawaneen, the rules that were in place made by the idol worshippers of Makkah, Allah also uses the word religion for that, for those set of qawaneen, and you know, lakum dinukum waliya din. So for you is your religion, and for me is you know, so basically their religion, their set of qawaneen and laws is also considered to be deen in the Holy Quran, which is of course the deen al-batil. We are talking about the examples of the deen of batil in Quran. Likewise in Surah Yusuf verse 76, Allah says, talking about the law of the ruler, the king of Egypt in those days, which is also mentioned to be the religion. كَذَلِكَ كِبْنَا لِيُوسُفَ مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذْ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. So that's basically thus we devised for Yusuf. For Yusuf's sake, he could not have hold his brother under the king's law. So the law that was implemented by the king of Egypt in those days is also mentioned in Quran as deen al-malik. So these are some of the examples of the deen al-batil in Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 25, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So, certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn in the light of this verse that He has sent down His messengers with clear signs and sent along with them the book and the mizan, so that people can take a stand for justice. They can stand and do the qiyam bil qist. They can stand for justice. So stand, all the, in Islam, all the activities that a believer is supposed to perform, personal or social, fardi or ijtima'i, all types of activities have to be based on the concept of justice in Islam. And whether it's a theoretical activity, that means things that you believe and you imagine, and you know things that you are thinking with your brain and your aql and your fikr, or your practical actions and mawqif and stances that you take on various matters, all these have to be personally and socially, in both matters, in both perspectives, need to be based on justice. And as a matter of fact, we find that a huge number of human beings want to follow Haq. It's not that they don't want to follow Haq. They want to follow Haq, but they make mistakes. They make mistake in distinguishing between Haq and Batil. And what they end up doing is that they end up considering Batil either entirely in its totality, or Batil mixed up with Haq. They end up considering Batil to be Haq, and then they end up following that Batil. And that Batil, I already mentioned in one of the previous lessons, has wujud bil arad, not wujud bil zat. So it is resting entirely on the power of Haq. So that batil is certainly doomed to land them in destruction and halakat. And this is exactly what it happens, unless they have tajziya and tahleel and wa'i and basirat and fahm al amib and tafaqquh and true understandings of the concepts. Look at, let's go to Nahj al-Balagha. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says in his letter number 66, Maktub 66, فَلَا يَكُنْ أَفْضَلَ مَا نِلْتَ فِي نَفْسِكَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ بُلُوغُ لَذَّةٍ أَوْ شِفَاءُ غَيْرٍ. Please pay attention. So we learn in the light of this statement of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam that the most superior thing that you find in this life of this in this world should not be this pleasure. Such and such pleasure in this in the life of dunya, because I found this pleasure, this is because I found this convenience, because I found this thing which is pleasing for me, or shifa'u ghayb, or I can take intiqam and revenge from somebody. This should not be. فَلَا يَكُنْ أَفْضَلَ مَا نِلْتَ فِي نَفْسِكَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ بُلُوغُ شِدَّتْ لَزَّةٍ أَوْ شِفَاءُ غَيْرٍ. So it should not be the most important, the most superior thing that you grab, that you find, that you achieve in this world should not be the pleasure of this dunya or taking revenge from somebody. Some people, if they find a little bit of margin, little bit of space, little bit of power, little bit of strength, little bit of position, the first thing they will try to do is to take revenge. وَلَكِنْ إِطْفَاءُ بَاطِلْ أَوْ إِحْيَاءُ حَقْ. So these type of people must understand that they're still lacking with tazkiyatun nafs and taharat of the qalb. But what should be the most superior goal of our life in this world is to extinguish the batil and to make haq alive. Ihya of haq. These are the goals of the life of a believer. So when we grab power, when we gain power, when we achieve some achievements in our life, our goal after achieving power, our goal after making any achievements in our life is not to not just now becoming pleased and happy that now I end up having this and this pleasure in my life. Or now I'm powerful so I can take a revenge. The goals for a Muslim's life is defined by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that he should be striving to extinguish the batil and to make haq alive. So whatever you achieve in your life after your achievements, if you are working to make the haq alive after your achievement, then you are successful in the real sense of the word. Or if you are striving to crush the batil and falsehood and extinguish the falsehood, then you are successful in the eyes of Nahjul Balagha. So, everything has its own followers. Satan has his own followers and Allah has his own followers. And batil has its own followers, like Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says in Nahj al-Balagha, حَقٌ وَبَاطِلٌ وَلِكُلٍ أَهْلٌ. That's khutbah number 18, khutbah number 16. That haq and batil, and that means that, there's haq and there's batil. And each one of those have their own followers. So the one who has more taharat in the qalb will be inclined towards the... So, this is not part of the hadith. He will be inclined towards the haq, and the one who has najasat in his own qalb, did not abstain from the harams, will be inclined towards batil and his shahawat and his ghadab. So, this is the sign of batil of a person, and najasat of the qalb. So, all the actions that we perform, as we are talking about the deenul haq, all the actions that we perform, it is directly related to the concept of haq and batil. Because we need to be able to distinguish between haq and batil first. First things first. So unless haq and batil concept are cleared in our minds, I don't think we would be properly able to understand the deenul haq and the deenul batil. So haq is considered to be something amrun sabit mutabiqun lil waqi', something which is stable and real, and according to the facts and realities on the ground. It matches the realities on the ground. The on-the-ground reality. Something which is real, and it's there. Yawma, Quran says in Surah Ahqaf, verse 34, وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. And those who did the kufr will be presented on the fire, on the hellfire. Is this not haqq? The kuffar were the ones who were denying the Day of Judgment and Yawm al-Hisab and accountability and the heaven and the hell and all those things. Isn't that right? All the realities of the Day of Judgment. They spend in their lives after they're running for their pleasures and hawa nafs, denying the Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, they will be presented on the hellfire and they will see the reality is there. It was there, but they failed to see that. Alaysa hadha bil haqq? Qalu bala. They will reply back, yes. Wa rabbina, we swear to our Lord, it's haqq. Yes. Qala fadhuku al-azaba bima kuntum tatfurun. So then taste the punishment for what you deny, in other words. So realities are always there, and our job as a believer is to adjust our i'tiqad, our belief, and our a'mal, our actions and mawqif and policies according to the haqq, which is amrun thabit. Haqq is a stable, real entity. It's stable. It's there. It's always there. It is usually covered up by different things, by garments and covers and ghilaf and things that make it resemble with batil. That's how it is usually covered. But it's always there. Haqq is always there. The people who are following the batil are fooled to follow the batil. They are fooled to follow the batil because of their previous sins, to be honest. You know, if they avoided their previous sins, they will never be fooled into batil. So it's not the fault of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, it's our own fault. Because we could not abstain from the previous sins and didn't do tawbah. That's why Satan deceived us into falling prey to into further deception and possibly accept a batil presented in the form of haqq to be haqq. And then some people start to, start doing the ta'wil and tawjeeh. Socialists in the heydays of socialism, in the Lenin times, and if you go back to the times of Lenin, you find they used to say that, well, they didn't used to believe in the malikiyat khususi, nobody can be private ownership of things. Socialism totally denied that. You cannot privately own anything. And after a while, when they found that this is not working, then they retreated, and instead of accepting the wrong and the faulty theory that they were presenting, they said, actually, the people are not prepared to buy our great concept. So this is actually the duration that we are passing by, so that the people get ready to accept the concept finally, and then when we reach the stage of communism, that's where they can understand that this milkiyat khususi, that means private ownership concept, is the right thing. So people need to reach the level of communism. Right now we are not there yet. We haven't reached the communism right. We are in the stages of pre-communism stage, which is called socialism. So these are the type of tawjihat that a human performs for the batil. Amir Rumi alayhi salam says, "Man sara al haqqa sara'ahu." Whoever battles with the haqq, fights back and basically, knocks him down, in other words. And also in another maktub, in his letter number 59, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُغْنِيكَ عَنِ الْحَقِّ شَيْءٌ أَبَدًا. It's a very important, very simple, but very important statement of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, where he says that certainly Nothing can suffice you from Haq, ever. And we, even if we, for a time being, for the sake of our own interests, for the sake of our ignorance and jahl, for the sake of whatever temporary gains that we think we may gain, we are inclined towards batil. We ignore the ahkam of Sharia. We violate the rulings of Allah. We ignore our values and compromise over our value system temporarily, because we think that's how we can run away with it. We can make some more material gains in the life of this world. We can be protected. We can save ourselves. So we make wrong choices and we go for batil. But we must understand, nothing of our batil choices will suffice us or will help us. At the end of the day, we will be forced to accept the decision of Haq. Sooner or later. Now, some people will be accepting the decision of Haq sooner because they have lesser najasat in their own qalb. Some people will accept the ruling of Haq after a longer while because they are more into the sins. Depends. The more taharat or the more najasat you have. But at the end of the day, nothing can suffice you from Haq. Everything has to come back to Haq. And it always comes back. Now, like I said, the people in a lot of cases, a huge number of the human society wants to follow Haq. A huge number does not want to follow Batil. On their own, they want to follow Haq, but they mix between Haq and Batil, and they didn't distinguish properly, and that's why they consider Batil to be Haq and start following Batil. So, and some of those people actually, not just that, but they consider, they consider themselves to be Haq and better than the others, and they consider the Batil to be basically, although they may be following the worst of the Batil policies, but they themselves consider themselves to be following the best of the paths. This is what we call the complex ignorance, jahle murakkab. Some people have this kind of jahle murakkab. They are following the batil, but in the name of Haq, but they don't understand that they are following the batil. Instead, they understand they are following Haq, and they are so stubborn over their following of batil as Haq, because they consider themselves to be knowledgeable. And you can never treat in mantiq. They say you cannot treat this thing, this illness cannot be treated. If somebody is going through this kind of maraz and illness of jahle murakkab, you know that somebody who doesn't know the reality and doesn't know that he doesn't know. Kisi ke nemi donat, wa nemi donat ke nemi donat. This type of a complex ignorance cannot be cured until you destroy the muqaddimat of yaqeen of that person. Quran. The Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 103 and 104, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, shall I inform you about the biggest losers in terms of their amal? The biggest losers, in other words, الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The one who have lost their effort in the life of dunya, وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. And they think they are doing well. They themselves think they are doing well, but all their efforts are gone. You know, all the charities, all the good work, all the prayers, all the tilawat of Quran, all the fasting, all the hajj, the guy is doing very nice things. He thinks he's doing very nice, nothing wrong with him. On the day of judgment, or even before that in the grave, when he ends in the grave, he finds none of his amal are there in the form of nur to help him. Where are my hajj? All the hajj that I perform, my, you know, tilawat of Quran, my prayers, nothing is there. What happened? These are the biggest. Qul hal nunabbi'ukum. Say, shall we inform you about the biggest losers? Akhsareena a'malan. Biggest of the losers in terms of their actions. الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَوَىٰ. And they think, وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ. They think they are doing well. This is why the discussion of haq and batil is important. So we don't end up thinking that we are doing well if we are doing not well. So Imam Ali says about Khawarij, khutbah number 61, لا تقاتل الخوارج بعدي. Don't fight with Khawarij after me. Please pay attention. فليس من طلب الحق فأخطأه كمن طلب الباطل فأدركه. Because the person who seeks the haq but makes mistake is not like the person who is seeking batil and finds it. So Imam Ali had stopped all of us from fighting against Khawarij after him. Khawarij are the best example of this category of people who used to think that they are very nice human beings, praying Salatul Layl, Namaz-e-Shab, Tilawat and all that. You know, this guy Haruriya was reading Quran in his house, and Imam is walking in the street of Kufa in the night, and with one of his Sahabi, one of his companion, and this guy of Khawarij is, they are passing by close to his house in Kufa, and he's reading the Quran in the middle of the night, you know. And this Sahabi got impressed in his mind. You know, in other words, I know that this is a nice person. Oh, he's awake and reading Quran. And not everybody is awake in the middle of the night to read Quran, isn't that right? So Zahiran, we get impressed. Imam Ali had the ilm al-ghayb. He read the mind of his Sahabi. And he said, without him, without the companion, without the Sahabi informing Imam Ali, Imam Ali said to him, he belongs to Jahannam. He was shocked. Of course, everybody will be shocked. He is reading Quran and Imam is calling him to a person belongs to Jahannam. And after very soon, very short while, the battle of Nahrawan with Khawarij happened. And after the end of the battle, Imam Ali took this same Sahabi and companion next to the janaza of that person who was reading Quran in the night and tinted his body with the Zulfiqar and recited the same, exactly the same ayat that he was reciting in that night. So this Sahabi, this companion recalled, oh, so this is the person he was reading Quran that night. So Imam overturned his body with his Zulfiqar and recited that ayat. So this is an eye-opener for this Sahabi. So not to judge the people that simply. But there's people, that's the way that people are. They keep on judging the people. I wish the people turn to those who have irfan and ma'rifat and let them judge and they follow. And their religion would have been saved. But shaitan is there to deceive us in the name of that I am not a city person. I also know a lot. I have learned so much already. Why should I turn to others? Isn't that right? So we don't turn to others who have the ma'rifat, and that backfires us and we end up thinking the batil to be haq. Isn't that shameful that the person is ready to slaughter Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam on the month of Allah, in the house of Allah, qurbatan ilallah, for the sake of seeking the nearness of Allah. Isn't that shameful? A person can reach in following batil to that limit that he can kill the waliyullah in the shahrullah, in the baytullah, qurbatan ilallah. Isn't that shameful? Isn't that a lesson for us to stop deciding without turning to Ahlul Ma'rifat? That's exactly what has happened. Khawarij, he's part of Khawarij, and the Muljim was part of Khawarij. And he was the one who he kills Imam Ali salam in the masjid. Qurbatan ilallah. Imam Ali arrives at the time of Fajr, and we find at that time when he arrives in the, you know, before the time of Fajr, we find that on that night when he was in the house of his daughter Umm Kulthum, salamullah alayha, And sometimes he used to come out in the yard of the house, look at the sky, and say, "Here, here, Wallah." That means, "This is it. This is it. I swear it, Wallah. This is the night." That means this is the night that was Ahtimal and that was promised, the promised night. This is the night of his Shahadat. Prophet has already prophesied in his hadith that Ashqal Akhirin, the most shaqi person of the later generations will be the one who will be killing Imam Ali alayhi salam, and his beard will become red with the blood of his head. This was a prophecy of Rasulullah. And Prophet said the truth. So we find Imam Ali when he comes and he wakes up, and he even wakes up his own qatil who was lying over his belly. In Islam it is condemned for any person to sleep over his belly. This is how shaitan sleeps. And Ibn Muljim was sleeping exactly in the same way. And he was hiding the sword which was dipped in the poison for duration, and very expensive poison that he himself, according to some narration, said that if this poison was distributed among all the people of Kufa, none of them would survive. It was such a dangerous poison that it can kill all the inhabitants of Kufa at the same time. Such a severe poison, and he's hiding the sword under his belly. Imam Ali wakes him up and says to him that I know what you are hiding. Look at the greatness and azamat of this personality who is waking up his enemy for the prayers, for the salat. How much importance Imam Ali alayhi salam holds for the prayers in his life. The first of those ayat that he recited is also talking about the prayers. Isn't that right? When he came into the lap of Rasulullah on the day number 4 of his birth. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So in the beginning of his life, he was talking about prayers. At the end of his life, look at the same concept of salat, how much importance he holds for that. So now, he goes into the mihrab, and he starts his mustahab prayers. He starts other than fajr prayer. And as he was raising his head from the sajda, that's where we find Ibn Muljim comes and strikes the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And we find this is the time where his musalla became red with the blood of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And that was the time where the nida al-ghaybi, the nida from the unseeable world, spread about the shahad, about the this event of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, that basically that Wasi and the deputy of Rasulullah and the deputy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been killed. And this voice was heard by everyone. Everyone heard that nida of ghaib. And we find that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein rushed towards the Masjid al-Kufa. They rushed towards to find their dad, and they found their dad is there on the musalla. The narration says, Imam Ali was picking up the soil from the masjid's floor and putting over his head. Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Bismillah wa billah wa fi sabilillah wa ala millati rasulillah. We find Imam Hassan was asked by his father to start the fajr prayers, to lead the fajr prayers. You know, now is the time of fajr prayers. Look at the importance Imam Ali holds for the prayers. Despite the fact that he is injured, but he's asking his son, instead of taking care of him, to start the fajr first. And Imam Hassan is now leading the fajr prayers with his khudu and khushu. And now after the fajr prayers is done, and now Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, they are now taking Imam Ali alayhi salam towards his house. They also asked, he also asked Amir al-Mu'mineen that who killed you? And he said, my qatil will soon be brought. If the Muljim was in a very short while, he was captured from the city, and he was brought in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he offered the same drink that was brought for him. The same drink that was brought for Amir al-Mu'mineen, He took a little bit of the sip and he ordered the rest of the drink for his own qatil. Look at the rahmat of Amir al-Mu'min. Look at the fact that he is the madhar of the rahmaniyat of Allah, that he is ready to offer the drink to his own qatil. How much some people are away from the rahmat. So we find that this is the seerat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's how he is. And this is how he is behaving. And this is how he holds importance for the salat. And likewise his son in Karbala, Sayyidul Shuhada, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, holds the same importance for the prayers. So we find he's taking one more night of the time from the Ashqiya, so that because Allah knows, Anni Uhibbu Salata. Because Allah knows that I love the prayers. Imam Hussain is also buying time so that he can spend one more night. He prayed throughout his life, but one more night for the sake of Allah. How much he loves the prayers. So it's different between praying and loving the prayers. Imam Hussain not only prayed, but he loved the prayers. So, and the Fajr of Ashura, we find that throughout the night, they prayed. And they did the munajat and dua towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the time of Fajr, Hajjaj ibn Masruq did the adhan. Instead of he doing the adhan, we find that Ali Akbar was called. And Ali Akbar was called and he did the adhan in the lahja of Rasulullah. And Imam Hussein is leading the Fajr prayers on the morning of Ashura. And all the Ashab are there. And all the Banu Hashim are alive. And they are praying behind the Imam. And we find as soon as the Fajr prayers ended, Umar ibn Sa'd was the person who said that to his own people, an army man, be a witness in front of Yazid, that I was the first person who threw arrow against Hussein, because he wanted to take reward of this dunya from Yazid. So love of dunya. So we find that as soon as Ibn Umar ibn Sa'd threw his first arrow, 3,000 arrows came towards Imam Hussein's camp. And several of the Ashab of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam became shaheed in this first attack. But by the time the Zuhr prayer arrives, look at the importance that Imam Hussein holds for the prayers. When Abu Sumama As-Sa'idi comes forward and says that this is the beginning time of prayers, Imam said, Naam, hada awwal waqtaha, zakarta salata, ja'alaka Allahu min al-musallin al-zakirin. You record the prayers, may Allah include you in those who pray and who remember Allah. So we find those who remember. So now Imam Saluhum an yakufu anna hatta nusalli. Imam asks them to stop. That means stop fighting against us so we can pray. Habib ibn Mazahir went there to talk to the Ashqiya that Imam Hussein wants to pray. So you guys stop the war for a while, in other words. And they replied that after denying the Khilafat of the Khalifa Yazid, nothing of your amal will be accepted any longer. Habib ibn Mazahir got very upset and he was about to charge and attack on them. But Imam Hussein stopped him because that was the time of Salat. You know, that's exactly what Amir al-Mu'mineen did in Siffin. When the battle of Siffin, in the middle of the battle, he started to pray. When the time of Fadilat arrived, Imam Ali started to pray and somebody objected on him. Why are you praying in the middle of the battle? And he said, إِنَّمَا قَاتَلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. That's the Mazmoon Riwayah. That we are fighting against them for the sake of prayers. This is what some people don't understand. They try to teach the Ahlul Bayt and they try to teach the Awliyaullah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now praying his Zuhr prayers. And two of his Ashab, Sa'id and Zuhair, they come in front of the Imam. And to stand as a shield in front of the Mawla to take the arrows over their chest. So sometimes when an arrow is coming, Sa'id moves forward and takes the arrow over his chest. So tomorrow in front of Fatimatul Zahra, Salamullahi Alayha, tomorrow in front of Rasulullah, he doesn't get embarrassed that I allowed your son to become shaheed, to get killed, but I saved my own life. And sometimes Zuhair used to move forward and take the arrow over his chest so that Imam Hussein doesn't get injured. And we find by the time the Zuhr prayers ends, we find Imam Hussein did his final salam And these two great companions fell on the ground and they say their last salam to Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. And now Imam Hussein is coming to each of them. Imam comes to Sa'id and you know his head is in the lap of Imam Hussein. And Sa'id sees Imam, says to Imam Hussein, Hal wafaytu yabna Rasulullah? Were I faithful towards you, O the son of the Messenger of Allah? And Imam Hussein's love, he says that An-na'am anta amami fil jannah. Yes, you are ahead of me in the paradise. And then the same thing, he comes to Zuhair, and Zuhair says the same remark, and Imam Hussein replies back the same sentence to him, Na'am anta amami fil jannah. You are ahead of me in the paradise. They were ahead of Imam Hussein. They were standing ahead of Imam Hussein in this dunya. They deserve to be ahead of Imam Hussein in the paradise, according to his own hadith. And this is the Salatul Zuhur. But let's move forward to the Salatul Asr. When the time of Salatul Asr arrived, it's a totally different scenario. Brothers and sisters, it's a totally different scene now. There is nobody remaining. None of the Ashab are remaining. None of the Banu Hashim are there any longer. It is Imam Hussein alayhi salam alone. And not just that, but he is now lying over the ground of Karbala. And he has all those arrows stuck in his body. And we find that Shimru Jalisun ala Sadrihi. And Shimr is sitting over his chest and slaughtering Imam Hussein by holding his beard and slaughtering him from the behind the neck. And that's the time, and those were the times when Hazrat Zainab was standing at the Qilla Zainabiyah and she addressed Umar ibn Sa'd by saying, Yuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayh. You know, that Imam Hussein, in other words, Imam Hussein is being killed and you are watching him. We find that Imam Hussein, as soon as he knew that this is the Fazilat time of Asr, that was the time where he Imam Hussein did his final sajda. When he did his final sajda, Bismillah wa billah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Ala laknatullah ala alqawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazina salamu أيام القلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله